Want to flip a coin?
I start coughing a lot. I'll switch.
That's fine.
Do we have a quorum?
We do.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Yeah.
All right. So it's 4 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order. There's some people coming in. I want to see if there are any board members before we do roll call.
What kind of a sound is that?
A sound of an angry international phone call. All right.
I think that's the sound of a busy signal on an international call.
I'll get us started off. Kelsey Potter, PAB.
J. Chester, PAB.
Megan Loki, Parks Administration.
Barbara Anderson, PAB.
Kelly Putney, PAB.
Talon Reggie, Parks Foundation.
John Spencer, PAB.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works.
Okay. Guest introductions. Should we just wait till they come in?
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly. We're about to. We just did roll call and I called your name out for you.
So I've got the sign in sheet. There'll be public comment at the beginning and then at the
end. Can you hear?
So Jim wants to speak about Curtin Creek.
Just real shortly, thank you.
You have to come up here because you have to talk on our microphone. Sorry.
So my name's Jim Couch. You've seen me around for the last couple of years at these meetings.
Yes, you're
wondering what the heck I'm doing here.
You're our biggest fan, we thought.
Yeah. Mostly here for Curtin Creek.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, we talked to Bill Berkey, and we were looking for fields. And I've been coaching, refereeing, administrating sports in this county for 30 years. I'm a rugby guy, basically. And we've been looking for rugby fields, and Bill said, Curtin Creek's coming. Keep an eye on it. So that's what I've been doing. First, I want to thank you. And just, I've been on boards, committees, advisory boards for years. You guys do a wonderful job.
Okay. Thank you.
You get through your stuff. Nobody screams at each other. It's kind of refreshing to watch.
Yeah.
We're looking for fields. Curtin Creek is an opportunity, and I'm here to advocate for kids to play in fields. Give me four kids and a pizza, I can make a game. And it's kind of the way it is. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
I have a few questions before
yes.
we go. I don't know much about rugby. Tell me comparable soccer field size.
A little bit bigger.
Bigger than soccer field?
Slightly. A little bit longer.
So could a rugby field be marked out of a soccer field?
Like, yes, is there we do it all the time.
All the time? Okay. Yeah. And do you have numbers, rough guesses about like recreational rugby in Clark County? Or
we get last 3, 4, 5 years we've between 375, 450 kids.
Oh,
wow!
Maybe yeah, that's a lot.
More. We've got them from Camas to Battleground's got a ton, Hawkinson, Vancouver. We got a lot of them. I've been coaching youth soccer here since '99, so. We've been around for a long time, too.
Did your favorite team win the championship?
I'll tell you what,
recently?
I was sleep-deprived for many weeks. I didn't care who won, but it was a great tournament. It really was.
I had several friends that did the same thing. Didn't realize it was that big a
sport
here.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Okay.
Thank you.
One more question.
Yes.
Well, actually, two.
Okay.
I think I overheard you talking before the meeting about turf.
Mm-hmm.
And so synthetic turf is not a good option for rugby, is that true?
We'd rather not. There are a couple of the newer turfs, which are the more expensive ones, that are okay.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a little hard on us.
Yeah, okay.
Is that just because it's harder to land on? Or
yes.
Is it, okay.
And, you know, you get shirts and a shirt, and that's what you got, and you're on the ground a lot. It's a little hard.
Yeah.
When's the season?
My wife says all year. most of our kids play in the spring, February through May, roughly.
Okay.
They also play some summer and some fall.
Okay.
One last question.
Yes.
How does a field for rugby compare with lacrosse? And if you don't know that.
I don't know for sure. Okay. They're that far off.
Yeah.
I mean, we can make a soccer field work.
Yeah.
Basic message is any of those fields, make them big enough that you can fit all
flexibility
versions on
it. You have 70 by 110 yards either.
You know, yeah, I are 70 by hopefully by 125 or 30.
Okay, so it is same a little thing. Longer than a
little bit longer,
field.
But same thing is fine.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And you don't want turf. You prefer not to have turf.
We prefer not to.
That's going to be hard to do because that I would assume you tear up.
It's
turf.
Not any worse than anybody else.
Not any worse than soccer, probably.
No, probably. I mean, we don't dig out goal mouths and things like that.
Okay.
You get enough kids running around it when it's raining.
Well, yeah, I just know lacrosse, and you probably don't do this, but lacrosse spends so much time in front of goals, they
right,
wear out.
Around the spots. In the crease.
Yeah.
And
okay, yeah. The rugby, you don't. You're like football. You go back and forth in soccer. Okay. Yeah. All
right. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Katie Kennedy? Megan, where did you have this? Where should I put it?
It was out there by now. Here.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Katie Kennedy. I'm with the Clark County Executive Horse Council. And I just had a question from the last meeting. I know there was a discussion from Jana Brown about the open houses that happened in August, and I was just wondering when and where we might be given access to responses to those in that open house.
Well, we have on the agenda the plan review today under new business. So maybe can you hang for the whole meeting and then do public comment?
I saw that on there. So.
Okay,
But are you looking for the actual responses?
Yeah, for public comment.
So that would be a public information request to the county.
Is that what we
or
need
do we
to
have know? That acute like in the presentation?
I don't know.
Maybe. No.
Either way, we will figure out how to. Oh, we do have a whole PowerPoint here.
But, I thought on the agenda, but I didn't know if that was going to be included. So.
Yeah, I don't have the. Who's presenting that? That's our presenter. Kevin's asking.
So Sarah,
we'll figure it out.
Smith will be here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
She should be giving that presentation. That would be a great time to ask that question.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will ask her on your behalf and then hang out to do public comment if we didn't
at the end
clarify everything you wanted
right.
to
Perfect.
Know.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
so you just want like a physical copy of the responses?
Yeah, just like what those questions were and what the responses back on those. I appreciate you moving the meeting time.
Oh, really?
That's good to hear.
That's good to know. Sure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do guest introductions as they come in. Chat with us. Reminder. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to review and adopt our September and October meeting minutes. So if you can take October's look pretty easy. So September's, go back in your memory.
They're both included in your packet.
Alright. I feel weird.
I'll move to approve them on pure faith in Dave.
I'll second.
Perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Kelly did a second on that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you heard.
Here's your monthly reminder to log your volunteer hours. So any time doing emails for the Parks Board, running to meetings, doing things on the Parks Board behalf, make sure you're logging that and sending it to Dora. I have a quick question speaking of that. So the open house tomorrow for Curtin Creek, can I get like a head count of who plans on going? Because I have to get a babysitter and I'm sort of sick. So if we have decent board member coverage, I'll bow out. If not, I'll go.
I'm not going to be able to make it.
Sorry. Here I was going to bow out. But I can
okay.
make it.
No, I can do it, John.
Well,
I apologize.
It's all right.
I got
Seriously, there's no problem with me making it. I was just being wimpy. I can totally do it.
It's okay. I can do it.
We'll both
I want to shame you. Okay, we'll both do it. Let's do that. Barbara, can you not make it?
No. Tomorrow is a bad day with the kids.
Okay. So John and I will do it. Maybe if Dave's able to go, I'll bow out. We'll talk to Dave later. Okay. Moving on. So... I kind of jumped around and let public comment come before those things. I'm feeling really wacky today with this head cold. Sorry. Ex officio membership discussion. That has Jay, but I know we kind of had that in Megan's court because she was reaching out to ESD 112 for us.
I have not received a response back.
Okay.
So for those who are not in the loop, we are trying.
And we haven't heard anything from Vancouver.
Not from them either, although the gentleman that I spoke with at Vancouver said that he would talk to their superintendent and respond.
Okay.
All right, so our school board, we're trying to reach out to get a little more geographic buy-in from school boards who want to be involved without adding 20 ex officios to the board. So our thought was, let's contact ESD 112, who's sort of the purview of all the smaller districts around. And so I guess that we'll move that to hopefully the next meeting. We'll hear back from them.
Former Jennifer? Superintendent of Canvas. Mike, I think. I think I've got somebody I can call. I'll look them up.
Now, what's the position now on our youth membership? Have we given up on that, or have we actively pursued
Well, we gave up on it pretty much because it was during school hours, and we didn't really have the support, at least of Jennifer, at that time, who was the only district coming to our meetings and pursuing it. Now that we are 4 to 6, that makes it more feasible for youth members to again join. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't have any time in terms of the other park stuff I'm doing to work on it. If you want to kick it into gear again, you're welcome, but I don't want to overpromise and under-deliver because I just am at my peak.
I just think with the comp plan coming upon us...
It's a good thing.
...that having that youth view is, I think, a critical component of it, and I'd like to feel that we're representing well there.
I'm just worried that unless we have someone who's dedicated to putting in a lot of the time to make it...
Sure.
A really valuable and knowledgeable experience for them that it won't...
Well, I think there was some fragmentation on the mentorship that we could have done a little stronger, but that's another story. I'll be happy to do some follow-up on that.
Okay.
And then I'll just connect with you, Megan, to see if we get a name for new representative for Vancouver.
That's what's going to hurt us a lot right now is not having contacts with the schools.
Well, although we ran without it last time, really, because she was so busy with the build-out.
The bond stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But we do need support, even if it's silent.
What was the name of the woman you and I were working with here at Clark County who ran the youth program?
Elizabeth? Elizabeth Gill, I think.
Reach out to her again and see if she's
Well, that was only for the non... the homeschooled, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but she was a real good contact into the others as well.
Right.
But, yeah. If you want to partner up and we'll get it together, I'm happy to.
I just want to hand it off to somebody who can just go do it.
Oh, well, yeah, don't we all? I think it's important enough. I will find the time.
I do agree. Yeah. It's an important position if we can get somebody.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll add that to the next agenda, kind of an update on...
Can I just add one something. It doesn't necessarily have to be high school. It could be college, too.
We opened it to college last time,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I think we capped it at 20.
I would have
old.
To go back and look at them. Yeah.
I know we're having a hard time getting a youth representative on the Parks Foundation board, too. So
it's really hard.
It's tough to do. It's probably not going to be a high school student or college, but it might be somebody like in that 20 to 25-year-old range mm-hmm. that can do it. But a lot of times for the kids in that range, they're not kids anymore. They have full-time jobs that they can't mm-hmm. easily get away from, you know.
Yeah.
And that becomes...
Well, I think it's
although
worth
the high school kids we had...
Usually.
Yeah, we had a couple of them that were really, I think, churner and burners.
Yeah.
But we were kind of stumbling around ourselves.
Well, I think we can, definitely with a change of times and everything, we can, you know, revisit and see if we can't get better representation. But it was tough because of the school representation was not, very supportive.
Yeah.
I will say I'm going to be the wet blanket that I'm just concerned with the comp plan coming up. Yes, I want youth voices, but I also know that that's going to make things busier for us on the board, and I'm just going to be like, I can't do anymore. I can't. So, I mean, I value the youth thing, but we also had talked about in response to not having youth members doing a better job soliciting youth voices. So maybe not having youth members, but doing a better job of reaching out to schools and for surveys. What do kids want in parks? I mean, mm-hmm. going to them instead of making them come to us to get that voice.
And that's a wonderful challenge to provide the youth membership of the board to work with us on.
Yeah.
I think it's worth reaching out and seeing if we get somebody. If it works, great. If not,
reach out to Clark College.
It doesn't. Yeah.
I don't think you should just limit it to the high school kids. I think Clark College, and you've got WSUV.
You think about that?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
What's that?
That's a good point.
You've got WSUV up here too. I mean, they've got great, great kids at all of these campuses that can help. And if they're interested in parks, they're the ones that are going to come and be involved in it as well.
Yeah.
So.
Part of their degree program or something.
Some of them, or just because they're interested. Yeah.
Okay.
You got Portland State. You've got all of these universities and colleges around. There's lots and lots of options.
Okay, so I think head cold. School board representation and ex officio membership discussion. What's the difference between those?
I don't know. To be honest with you,
they're the same.
Yeah, I think it's roughly the same.
Was one of them specifically for Jennifer?
Well, the ESD 112 is where she went, and we would like to have the ESD representation if they're going to represent all school districts or more school districts than just Vancouver and
what about Cascadia Tech? Somebody from Cascadia.
Actually, we
approached every single solitary
right
school. I have letters to every principal. So we did. And we did go to WSU as well.
And Clark. And we only got one. We got three. One dropped
three.
Out.
Yeah. Yep.
Mackenzie. And then Sarah was my babysitter and I made her do it. I mean, so I'm just hesitant to put a time. I mean, I'm with John. If we put it out there and we get some, great. But I just don't know if we should go overboard because Barbara did so much work on it last time that I would hate for that to happen again and then it just not yield the results you're looking
for.
Yeah,
but you're not going to get one if you don't reach out. And I'm happy to do that because I truly believe the value of having someone from the youth here on our board.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's valuable. I just...
Well, we may get better results if we include the college level representation. So.
What was that?
I said Barbara's
happy. Still didn't hear you, Kelly. Yes. Yeah, it's on speaker.
It's on speaker. It's just not coming through very well.
Let me try turning the volume up. Say that again.
It said Barbara's happy. Reach out.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay, election of officers.
Yes, we have. Do we have to go through the official? Anybody else?
Please.
Running against
Barbara, you. Kelly?
I think everybody wants to be.
Are you looking for someone to step up? I'm happy to come back in.
In what
How about you, Kelly? You got one more round in you?
As an officer?
Yeah,
he's just
co-chair.
Not here enough, Barbara. I mean that with all due respect, but he's just not, like, physically present.
Oh.
Sorry, Kelly.
I'm here, but not
okay.
here.
Yeah, like...
Yeah. John, Jay, Dave...
Well, I think we in
I
our
think
last
it works better as a co-chair position.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely,
and
yeah.
We're fine with that. I mean, Kelsey and I are fine with being co-chairs again. Dave was fine about being the secretary
yeah.
again.
Well,
so
I've always believed in same reason I step back. You know,
totally understand.
A couple of years, you need to have a new vision.
Totally
and
understand.
I'm fine stepping down. Whatever.
I think you two should do it again.
Okay. I'm good with that. Do we
officially have to vote?
I think we
somehow?
Have.
Barbara,
right,
do you
so
want
you
officially
to
put your name in the...
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I do think rotation is good.
Did we have... We did it on,
you,
like,
you do the
ballot.
Notifying, and then we're supposed to vote. What does our ordinance state? Because it always worked against us. But you have to do 1 month notice before
for the
you
election.
Vote.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Are you able to bring those up?
So
yeah, I think we vote in December.
If you're going to throw your name in, do we vote for just two of the three at that point? Your all three names are in together? And
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so.
How long have you two been doing this now?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
I think I did it the 3 years before that. But I do. I feel always that rotation is good.
I don't disagree with
me. And I'm just looking at the agenda. There's a discussion about the December meeting. Is there any issue with deciding today on who's going to be in the election and then having the election and January the first
I think
meeting
the bylaws
of the year.
Say December is the election.
And maybe we do it by email or something. I mean, we're talking about not having the December meeting.
We're worried we're not going to have a quorum for December.
Right. So then you couldn't vote on it anyway.
Yeah.
So the bylaws state that the election of officers occurs each year in December.
Okay.
So let's plan on having a December meeting and voting. If it doesn't work out, then we redo in January.
Okay.
I will be there.
You will be here.
I'll be here.
So
I'll be here.
Yes.
So are we? Where? When? So I can't be here in December.
On the second Tuesday of the month. So.
Yeah. Well, will you be here, Jay?
As far as I know.
Well, there's a quorum, so...
Well, yeah, Tuesday it should be.
It's the 10th.
It's the 10th. It's on my calendar.
Well, can someone call me if we call Kelly for
yeah.
name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, how is this vote taken? Is it a written vote?
We did ballots when...
We did ballots the last
Laura
couple...
did it last year.
I just
year.
Need to know who is...
Running.
And then
what position,
and we'll organize it and distribute the information ahead of time.
Okay.
So in talking to Dave, it sounded like he was still interested in doing secretary. So let's
right.
put
still
Dave
well
down for that
secretary.
Unless he, for some reason, has had a change of heart, which I don't foresee.
I don't anticipate that.
Barbara, what position are you running?
Co-chair.
Yeah. And myself and Kelsey. Our co-chair candidates. And do we have any other? I don't think we have any other officer positions.
No.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. I will put that together.
Unless somebody else wants to run as co-chair too, so co-chair with co-chair. Okay.
Okay. So let's skip to E, which is December meeting. So there was talk about canceling it because it's December before the holidays and people are busy and gone, but it sounds like we're not doing that now.
So does that have to be a vote at the meeting?
Solves that one.
Can we have the ballot sent out and then...
It doesn't.
Tally?
It just says that you will elect your officers in December. I would have to gain understanding or clarification as to how...
Because I don't know how many agenda items we will have on for December also. That's...
Yeah, and if we're just going to drive over here for the one thing, that's a long drive.
Yeah.
Right.
So this advisory board runs under Robert Rules order. So that would be, we would need to look at, can election of officers happen outside of a public meeting?
But you don't get a vote, darling.
I don't get a vote. No, it's fine. And I'm not
so sorry. Anyway. So
much more articulate way of saying what I was thinking, Kevin.
Sure.
All right, so...
You can look into that.
So... if it doesn't require us to meet and we can vote...
To vote?
Like in paper via email or whatever, do we want to meet in December?
We can vote via email. That's
if that is the case.
Also fine by me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
We get can vote done by and get mail it done efficiently.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Kelly, do you want to meet in December if we?
Yes, I do.
You do. Okay. Jay, you don't feel strongly one way about it or the other?
No, I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other. If we have a meeting, if the majority believes they want to have a meeting, then I'll be here.
Okay. Well, let's hear back after you guys figure out how the voting goes, and then we'll go from there. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Pros planning, prep for January. Laura...
So as you know, we're moving into the year where we need to begin looking at our PROS plan, the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan, for those who probably are listening and not sure what that acronym stands for. Kevin has submitted a request for $50,000 to hire a consultant in 2020 so we can meet our deadline of February of 2021. It's also a point of mention in the community planning work plan proposed as a type 4 plan that goes before county council, which is what we usually do anyway. When I looked at the 2015 schedule for the PROS plan, it looked like the Parks Advisory Board was involved both at the regular meeting and another meeting that was involved as well, just focused on the PROS plan. For those of you who were involved before, is that how it went?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kevin put together some packages, an RFP process, where we have three firms that have been awarded contracts for master planning such as this. Among those is Bridger ABAM, which is now WSP, ESA, and then Conservation Techniques. We worked with Conservation Techniques in the last PROS plan. He's very familiar with the process. He's familiar with not only Clark County Parks, but the combined Vancouver-Clark Parks. So honestly, I'm not sure what if I need a vote or anything from you, but I just want to get a feel on how you feel about using any of those.
I think Conservation Techs, they have been with us a long time, and their personnel are very familiar with not only our geography, mm-hmm. but our citizen need, just from historical stuff. And I can state unequivocally that when we were combined Parks and Rec with Vancouver, that the company that was hired, was it Green Space, I think, mm-hmm. that came in, we put out a ton of money. They were from California and had absolutely no concept of our environment. And I felt that the product that was delivered was not worth it because they didn't tell us one thing that we didn't already know. And it was worthless. And I think even if, and this is my personal view, and I'm a cheapskate, as you all know, but even if they came in a little higher than others, I would strongly encourage the use of them just because of their history and knowledge. That's my vote.
Okay. So what was different about using conservation techniques in that process?
I don't want to keep the conversation.
Well, we weren't involved, so you're the only one that can speak to that, honestly.
Well, the major difference was familiarity. They brought good solutions backed by facts and data. You also know I'm a stickler on that. And I guess because they met my need set of substantiating recommendations with cost-effective examples, mm-hmm. and then the areas that I wasn't comfortable with, like that stupid formula. You remember that formula? And they actually spent time educating us so that we knew what they were talking about.
Is that for the PIF formula?
Yeah.
The park impact phase?
Yeah. It was complicated.
Yeah.
And so I think those were the things that I valued the most mm-hmm. from the experience with them versus the other consultants we've used.
Okay. Laura, I'm sorry.
Can I speak for a moment?
Yeah. I'll put you near the speaker.
I think our involvement with them is just an important part of what we do. I've been with them for years, and I would like to support them for more years.
Thank you, Kelly. So, did he have more?
No.
Okay. So, Kelsey, I just saw my name on the agenda today on this topic. I have no idea what you needed from me. So, if you could, if you have any memory,
I think we mostly just want to know what the deadlines we're working with are.
Okay.
So, the February 2021 is
correct.
When everything needs to be completed.
Has to be finalized. Yep. Approved by council.
Okay. And so when do we really need to get in the weeds on this?
So because it's so comprehensive and a lengthy process, the sooner the better. January would be ideal. If we have to put it off till February, that gives us 12 months to finish everything.
What is your plan on hiring the consultant?
So Kevin and I are meeting with Galena on Thursday to fill her in on the process for the task orders, the RFPs that went out, and just visit with her about that, and then take the feedback from this meeting from you to that meeting with her as well.
Are we looking at this as a start from scratch or a update?
So it's an update, but you already did a lot of work already as a group in reviewing the standards and voicing that you would like to see more innovation in our parks.
Okay.
And honestly, what Galena has shared is that was one of the first things she said after going out on park visits. They're clean, they're tidy, they're beautiful, but she can't remember which park she was at last. Mm-hmm. And she'd like you, would like to see some of that change and be more innovative.
Okay. I have one more question, and you might have mentioned it. Sorry.
It's okay.
The other two potential firms, are they local?
Yes, I believe so.
They are.
They're both large firms,
uh-huh.
national firms, but they do have local offices. So we've worked with WSP, which was formerly Berger Haban. one of the landscape architects there is Ryan Weston, He used to be a City of Vancouver employee when we were the combined group. Mm-hmm. ESA is a company that we've used for different projects, not this particular type of project in the past, but we do have them under contract. So,
do you ask in your RFP to these firms for them to provide a schedule?
We would ask for the schedule as part of the task assignment. Yeah.
Right.
So we have them under
contract. You give them the February 2020 date, 2021 date.
Yes, and we would ask for
and
a
then
a
say
schedule.
How
do we get to that?
I mean, if you're looking at this, sorry, my project management head just went right into this, and that if you look at this and you're giving out the RFP, say, in December, you have 90 days before you can probably make a selection. You have 30 days of advertisement, 30 days of evaluation, 30 days to negotiate, so you might be able to conduct that to 60. So we're looking at February of 2020 before you award. So then that leaves you basically a year to do what we perceive as a lot of work. It may not be to somebody.
So the only difference with that is we've already done the RFP process.
Okay.
And so these firms are under contract.
Oh, okay.
And so the next step is to develop a common scope of work and determine the estimate, the fee estimate that we're not going to exceed.
Right.
So that process could take a week or two at the most.
Okay.
Where we go back and forth with, this is the scope of work, schedule, budget, and then we both sign and come to an agreement.
Okay.
And then
so
they're off and running.
That shortens up to January probably of 2020.
Okay. And we could, if Galena's okay with it, we could start that discussion now.
Because I think the pitfall that we need to make sure we don't get caught in is not having enough public meetings and inviting enough information to come in. Because if there's any kind of perception that we're trying to steamroll this quickly through, and there's not by our board or I know any of the county, then you have people like Deeb and others that are going to say, oh, here we go again. These guys got something in on us, and now, you know, this equation. And I mean, that's all, it's all going to be scrutinized. So I just want to make sure we have plenty of time to have these public meetings and public input. That's
how many did you have for the first PROS plan, Barbara? Do you know the big ones, like at the like library type event?
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there, in my estimation, was not enough.
Okay.
Only because of comments that came back from the community. And I know that we, as a group, met twice a month during that time to work on it. And those were also open to the public. But I'm with Jay that we certainly need to kick it up a notch on public outreach.
Are we doing a survey this year or this time?
We'll have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's required.
An online survey as well as open up the surveys at the open houses.
Okay.
So and the more, you know, if we're all sharing the survey with others, that helps widen our reach.
Okay. You asked what you needed from us, and I guess the only thing I would say is please go forward. I'm now officially nervous that we have about a year to get this done, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And it's
a
big effort
and,
you know, something that'll be under quite a bit of scrutiny. So, and with the, you know, and I don't know how long the approval process, but you said it has to be approved by February 2021.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the council, I mean, the council's not going to look at this once and say, okay, good, and then vote on it. They're going to, so we're going to have to actually be done much sooner than February 2020 to have the council, you know, knowledgeable enough to, I think they'll want to vote. So
can we have a goal by at least the end of January to have at least like 6 open houses planned, like dates?
Well, the first thing we got to do is get the consultants on.
I know, but still, just finding those dates in that meeting room and that space and when staff's available.
We want it spread throughout the county.
Yeah, because we need to start reaching out. This place, you know, I want to have events. We know we're going to have some sort of contract. We're going to have these public open houses. I just want like a visual that leaves. We've got 6 on the calendar, so we know we've, and then adding more if we are able
as we go along.
I would assume they want to
well,
know
I'm
that
sure that we did at least six,
right?
Though, the
They're
last time.
They're
going to
want to know that as part of the scope of work. Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then the other concern on that, and I agree, get the date set so we can start filtering out.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't say, oh, it was last minute.
Yeah.
The big holdup that we had last time on that is that you and I, we can probably think of a lot of questions we'd like to ask the public, but the way that the questions are formulated has to be done by somebody who's licensed to do it, because in order, what is the term they use, that the survey was blah and blah.
Valid, statistically valid.
Yeah, and so the way that the questions are asked and such, for those questions that we ask,
yeah, that's why
they
we
have
the
to be done by whoever the consultant is that we hire.
Mm-hmm.
To get useful information out of a survey, you have to word the questions appropriately. You're absolutely right.
And
are we talking about
and
a statistically significant sample? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need that level of information.
Yeah. But there was some term that they used last time.
So as Laura mentioned, mm-hmm. we're meeting with Nalina this week to talk about planning for this effort, and one of the things that we absolutely have to do as an organization in our communication sessions with Megan, who has lots of experience with big projects with Department of Transportation, the port, other agencies. So we're going to bring her in and talk about how we do the public participation process, because it is a big deal, you're right, and whether that's six open houses or four, or you know what that number ends up being, or different community workshops, we're going to have to lay out a plan, and you're right, we'll get going on it right away.
I just want to I feel better if I see some dates that things are set and we're forward momentum.
Yeah.
You and I would both feel better.
Yeah.
Because I do hate the last minute, I didn't hear about this meeting.
Yeah.
How long after the consultants are hired do you typically wait before you start having, I mean, how much work do you have to have done before you start to have those open houses?
Yeah, I mean, because if we want the open houses to be an information gathering expedition, which we want to give to the consultants, mm-hmm. instead of the consultants already writing something with their mind made up, saying this is what the public is actually asking for, you know, you're right. It's sort of that keeping those checks and balances.
I think that the process that they went through the last time, even just for the information gathering ones, like I call the one at our library, that there were specific boards that were set up and a methodology that they used for asking the questions. They did meet with us ahead of time to get input and guidance, but they also had brought to the table questions that they said we needed to be asking.
But we
so I think there's both parts there.
About at our last meeting that we keep going to these meetings with preconceived images that we're giving the public. We're giving them preconceived notions of what parks look like and what recreation looks like. And that's why maybe we feel we're getting some of the cookie cutter approaches to parks, is because we're not letting people come in and go, oh, you know what's cool about this space is, because I go there all the time, it does this, it does that. We're going in with three things saying, do you like A, B, or C?
Yeah.
So I want to be careful about
that,
too.
Yeah, you're limiting the options. Well, information gathering isn't A, B, or C.
Yeah, but I do remember going around on those boards, and it was like, do you like this, or do you like this, or do you like this? So, I mean, it was a little...
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure...
If you had a dollar to spend, how would you spend it?
Getting, and you think in very preconceived.
But you got to remember, we already have a basis to work from. We already have A, B, and C. Do we need to have D or C1 or C2? So, I mean...
Yeah, I guess perceptions can be that.
So, with the consultant, you would all be involved, not only in bringing it to this meeting, but involved in the process. So as we discussed in 2015, it was two meetings a month. It was this one plus just the PROS plan meeting. I don't know what that'll look like depending on the consultant that we get, but is that something that you'd be committed to for at least January through July?
Three meetings a month?
Two.
I think we need to. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
We could never have completed it the last time without it. Do you feel, John?
Yeah, no, it's just for me, the sooner we schedule it, mm-hmm. the more likely it is to happen.
Okay. All right. That's my
I think it'll get to that.
Yeah.
I think if we can put a schedule out, we can attend how we can attend. I mean, everybody's got constraints on there, but if you don't have a schedule and we do this next month, we're going to meet twice, what 2 days would be great. That's not going
to
work.
Try to plan forward.
Yeah. Part of your scope, when you write this scope of work for these folks, is I would anticipate this board, you know, we would have our regular board meeting, because I don't want to give all of our regular board meeting time to this also. I mean, we have other things to do, obviously. So I think a separate meeting could be anticipated, and I would expect the consultants to attend. So having been a consultant, I want to know how many meetings I'm expected to attend.
Right.
So obviously, when you write your scope of work, I think a lot of those questions will be answered, but the county has to get the input from your communications director, because they know what's legally required. I mean, I'd love to have a lot of updates, but I can't spend that much time and you know, everything else. So.
Okay, so that needs to go on the next agenda too then.
Yes.
I think that will be on the agenda for a long time. So
yes,
hopefully in January you'll have come back to us with an update of.
Well,
where
I have
we're at.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Just have the consultant. Do you anticipate having the consultant selected by?
So we will know at the end of this month, 26th, 27th, is when council will adopt the budget for 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where our decision package sits. So we'll know when that is done that we have the authority to spend that money next year. And so I think.
The 26th, 27th.
Yeah. So once we know that that's approved, we can take the month of December, reach out to the consultant, and start drafting that task and have it in place by January 1 so we can start spending money.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. On that note, I summarized all of our takeaways from the subcommittee.
Wow.
I know.
Good job.
It's not fancy.
Doesn't need to be.
But I just want to throw them out and you guys tell me, no, that's not what we said, or yes, it is, but make it sound better sort of thing. Again, it's very bullet item. So let me know what I missed or what I need to change.
Is that in here? Or
no, I just typed it in a notebook, or wrote it in a notebook. I'm sorry. I put this on the agenda. You can ask J.S. This will be a rough draft, and then I will get feedback, and then I will retype everything. Sorry, I've been sick. I've been working. I have so many problems. Okay. I have children. I have a dog. Define pocket parks. Yes, for better or for worse, that needs to be in the pros plan this time. Define linear parks. Add more inclusive language in terms of availability, ages, cultures, teens, adults, and seniors. Sounding good? Okay. This was a question about the pros plan that I don't know if we ever really firmly decided on. Do we need to adjust size range of neighborhood and community parks in definition? Because if we're going to, so we say that a community park or a neighborhood park is 2 to 5 acres. Right. That was one thing the development community was really hounding on us in that subcommittee, is they don't want a definition on the size of a neighborhood park. Do we want to keep neighborhood parks at 2 to 5-ish? Because we're including a pocket park range, which will account for a smaller park. What do we want to do with that language? Yeah.
And I agree. I don't think we did come up with a consensus
on
that. But we do
category.
Want that. That is to be decided through the pros plan.
Okay. Yeah. So that is still something, I didn't know. Personally, I don't know if we should hem ourselves into a size sort of range, because, I mean, what if a developer wants to develop a 1.8-acre neighborhood park for us? Are we going to say, oh, that doesn't count, and this and that? And
well, there's also the option of adding a fourth category.
Which we kind of are with pocket parks.
Well, we're doing that with pocket parks.
Well, that's what I mean.
Linear
that the,
parks.
That the linear and pocket parks are a local park instead of neighborhood.
Two to 1.99 down to...
I kind of agree about the hemming you in. If you give a little bit more flexibility, as long as it meets certain standards, then they can get credit for it.
And the whole thing could be written from a standards perspective.
Yeah.
The size of the park isn't there, it's just, can this park serve this population?
Yeah. I didn't quite hear that, Kelly.
I said we all have to be careful on this.
Yep.
Because this is getting into territory where we could get in trouble.
Okay.
Where we can get which? In trouble.
Do the developers have any suggestions on what language should be used?
So they are very much in favor of those pocket parks that they build, and they want to see credit going to those in terms of PIF funds.
Sure they do, but they're not capable of funding those because we don't have the maintenance background.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, for example, if they build a pocket park in a development and we give them PIF funds for those, there's no maintenance unless the HOA covers it. Sometimes HOAs put up signs that say you can't come in here because they're maintaining it. And then you have the other problem of, so for example, Erickson Farms, which is kind of where I live in the Flyda neighborhood, they have a pocket park. So if we had given them money for their pocket park, which has signs up that says you can't come in here, money would be pulled from the PIF that was supposed to build Sorensen Neighborhood Park, which is a county park. So we would be... We have promised parks, and we still have promised parks that we would be pulling pots of money from. So it's a very complicated issue, and I don't feel like we've ever solved it, and I feel like the maintenance piece is the bigger piece. My thought going forward with all these developers who have been coming to see us is that they build, like Holt and Three Creeks. I mean, their park plans for us, they're not those pocket parks.
No.
They are neighborhood / community parks they want to build and they want to get PIF funds for. If they can do something like that in a place that we already were going to build a park at some point anyways, I think we should give them the PIF credits for that. I have reservations about ever giving developers PIF credits for the pocket parks because I feel if there is no maintenance component built into that, neighborhoods are going to get... A, the park could just disappear because the equipment gets broken or damaged. The HOA doesn't want to keep funding the whole public to come use the park. And so it just gets a little bit messy to me. So yes, developers want credits for those, but they haven't been able to solve how they're going to be maintained to stay open for the public.
Yeah, so, you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah.
Though on the other hand, PIF funds don't pay for maintenance anyway. You know, that it, regardless of how it's built,
they
it's
don't. But we know that Clark County is always going to go and maintain those parks.
We
pass the MPD
to
fund those.
We should never build
parks.
A park that we don't maintain.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't encourage a developer to build it unless we're.
The other problem is there's some language. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not saying there isn't a solution to it, but I totally agree with your position, Kelsey, stating just from my own HOA experience that some teenagers came in and set fire to our slide. And it was, I think, some horrible amount, like $12,000 just to get a piece of plastic over from Germany to fix it. And the homeowners at that time wanted to just not rebuild it over crummy $12,000. Imagine if you had people outside the neighborhood coming in. That would be the time the neighborhood would turn around and say, Clark County, you come fix this.
Right.
And if we had given them PIF funds, I feel like we've given to say, oh, here's a park here, but then the park disappears. We've given essentially taxpayer dollars for something that's gone.
Exactly.
And until we can figure that out, and I feel that... I've tried. We've thought so much in the subcommittees of ways to do that. We've asked developers, and they say, we don't know.
Yeah.
Or the HOA will pay for it. Well, I don't think, solid enough for me to feel comfortable saying, yes, let's give PIF credits for pocket parks. But like I said, those last two presentations we've had, the last two meetings, those have blown me away. And
if they want to build a neighborhood park, and we want to be in our, you know, PROS plan saying, in these areas, and that's where we need to be really broad, where all this development is going on. If a park is built in this area that meets these standards, we will give PIF credits because we're going to build those parks anyways and have to maintain them as we grow.
Not only that, but I think we should strongly encourage that.
Yeah.
Because they've already pointed out to us, legitimately so, that the economies of scale are there for them.
Yeah.
They buy the land cheaper than what we can buy it. Mm-hmm. And they've already got the cement trucks in putting in sidewalks so they can do the walkways in the park cheaper. I mean, they can effectively do it cheaper than we can.
Yeah.
So in that case, that's a win-win.
Agreed.
And we'd be dumb to walk away from that.
And that's why we need to create the standards through the PROS plan.
Exactly.
So when these PUDs come in and all the documentation for the development can be documented. That's part of the problem also, is we don't know, we don't have the mechanism yet, the county does not have the mechanism yet to document some of these agreements we'd love to have as an aspect, and you know, PIF credits, all that can go into a PUD agreement. But if we don't have the mechanism to document it, then that's the problem. So starts with the PROS plan, weaved into, you know, more work on the development side and the PIF credits and all that great stuff. So
on that point, to be continued. Talk to the consultant a little bit more about size, sort of. Okay.
Get their guidance on it too. Yeah.
The Washington State Recreation Office also has some guidelines through SCORP, and the consultant will be well aware of that.
Okay.
To help us with those discussions.
Perfect. One thing we brushed on a little bit, but after I attended the meeting at the library a couple weeks ago, I think we need to flesh out a little bit, is dog park standards. It is mentioned briefly in the PROS plan, but there's no national standard on how many dog parks you should have per... Not that I've been able to find. And I'm pretty sure Bill told me that. I could be making this up, though. I think the PROS plan says there's not a nationally defined dog park standard. Anyways, people want dog parks, and I have more to add to that on E, on new business. But I think we need to discuss a little bit more about what we can do to support off-leash areas. If that means... People run their dogs off leash in my neighborhood park all the time. So what if we started fencing off a small corner of a neighborhood park where people could let their dogs run around in the park? They're doing it anyway, so I would prefer they not knock my kids off the bike or those sort of things. Like we have, you know, some of these neighborhood parks are big. Let's take a, you know, a strip and just fence them off. Like I want to flesh out more in the PROS plan dog parks and dog park ideas, that they don't have to be a huge standalone thing. They could be near an entrance where people can, who are coming to the park anyways and literally run their dogs off leash in the park, can do it in a more confined area. So something the development community wanted us to do that we need to ask the consultant about, potentially include schools as a percentage of park open space count. So that's something I think we need to look into. Reduce PIFs for developers building affordable housing and define the metric behind that. That's something that I feel really passionate about because I feel strongly about affordable housing. And I feel like this is a way to work with the development community who thinks PIF fees are preventing affordable housing from occurring. So if we can figure out what that metric is, of if you're building affordable housing, you'll receive a percentage off on your PIF fees, I think that would be beneficial as a whole. Are we all good on that? Okay. Look into counting other jurisdictions' properties into calculations. So when we met with Councillor Blom, we were talking about, like, we're just throwing out examples. Like, if you live in Battleground, and you live near Battleground Lake, we're not counting that really as like a regional park because it's a state-owned park. But technically, those people live very close to a
gorgeous park.
And so talking about that, I think, is something that we need. That is a concession we can make with the development community, because to me that makes sense. that we should be counting places that are not in our jurisdiction that meet those definitions. So question, and I need to go back, and I meant to read the post plan before this meeting, but when we're doing like a boundary line, do we count like a City of Camas park if it's within the 5 mile range or 3 mile walking range?
The inventory includes all the parks. It includes the state parks as well, for the number of people being served. So it's actually, it is in there.
It is?
It is. It's listed in there. It's listed in our inventory, and the schools are actually listed in our inventory.
But is it listed such that when we, when you're looking at the blank areas of the map that need mm-hmm. a park, mm-hmm. that incorporates them as...
It's included in the service
in
level.
In the needs for the community, but that's using the national standard, and then we're, you know, at 60% of that. As far as when I talked to Jeremy and Bill about it, that was the way they explained it to me, and Jeremy showed me where those were listed. And then inventory tracking.
I swore when we were with him and we were reading through the post plan, it said like in parentheses, Battleground Lake not included.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe.
I need to look more.
There may be
too.
Certain ones that are excluded.
Certainly, while we do the pros, it's a time to reevaluate that.
Absolutely.
Whole contract.
Yeah. And if it's not, then definitely.
Okay, so we need more clarification.
Because I can tell you, the school districts don't want their areas, you know, included in this because.
So you're
pretty clear
saying we're counting like an elementary school playground as a neighborhood park when we're doing the radius?
So we have park properties that are adjacent to schools.
Uh-huh.
So there's a middle school that we
maintain. Oh, those ones.
Only those are those included.
So like Geyser and Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Okay, well that makes sense because they're standalone and you can access those areas when school's in session.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Kelly, did you want to say something?
No, I think you're doing a good job so far.
Okay, thank you. I heard noises. So we talked about this, allow for a credit system for developers, and change language in the capital facilities and post plan to allow for more flexibility with these new big developments that are coming in. Revamp the way we do outreach with neighbors regarding park designs and amenities. So don't come in with as many. You can pick playground A, B, or C.
Right.
Like maybe do that on the second meeting after you've heard feedback from the group. But don't come in with the three pictures and everyone's just like A. I mean, listen, come back, and then show. Include more photos of park design in the post plan. That was one we came up with at our last meeting. More photos of like playground structures and parks, like amenities that could be possible.
Yeah. So again, that standards approach.
Mm-hmm. Did I miss anything? No.
I have absolutely no clue because that was all a long time ago.
I know. Okay. I will type this up, and I'll definitely get you a copy.
Thank you.
And everyone else, and then feel free to add and delete and edit, and we'll kind of go from there. But I think we got a lot of good stuff from those subcommittee meetings, so bravo.
You're going to type this up, and who's going to get it?
Everyone, Kelly.
Okay. You're going to type it up, though?
No, you are. I'm joking. I'm going
to. Yeah,
on
his phone.
Yeah.
I'll do more research as well on those topics.
Yeah, I'm just curious because I swore.
We can do that too. I mean, this will all come out in working with a consultant and everything. So don't, I mean, we don't have to have the answers right now because, quite honestly, we're trying to put input into the question and answer.
Make it better.
So we're making sure we've got the questions.
Okay. Do you have the follow up on, you said the county was looking into doing the percentage off some fees if for affordable housing?
I need to follow up on that. So it actually came from the Coalition on Housing,
mm-hmm.
and if it was truly affordable housing, and they had a definition of what affordable housing is, like up to, they're not spending more than 30% of their income fund fee to be able to, you know, to pay their monthly utilities plus rent or payment, deposit payment. Then they had a credit for impact fees, which include all kinds of impact fees, not just park. And it was 80%.
80% credit off of that?
Wow. Yeah, but that...
But that's usually a percentage of the overall homes that are being built, is mm-hmm. a certain percentage of them are the
right.
affordable housing. So
let me see if that's gone anywhere or if it's on hold.
Because if that stalls out, and even if it goes through, I mean, maybe just have the language in the PROS plan that...
I think that's the key.
There's flexibility for developers who build affordable housing to receive. I mean, obviously the council would have to approve it, but...
The key there is putting down that the total discounts can be up to X percent, so they can't double dip.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And then on the park maintenance piece, we were watching some legislation that unfortunately died, but we're hoping that momentum will pick up on it again in the future. They were looking at the ability to use PIF funds towards maintenance fees. So that passed for Conservation Futures. They have 15% that can be spent towards maintenance of those lands that are acquired. And so Thurston County was leading the charge on this. They've since dropped it since the rest of the legislation isn't moving forward on a statewide level. But it's something that we'll hope will pick up again, and if it does, we'll be sure to bring that back to you, too, because that'll help.
Yeah.
Didn't you also send us an email about a 0.3%?
This one right here.
Funding Bill 2020. We're going to touch on it really fast.
Yeah, but that's only adding that you can pass an additional tax.
Right.
For maintenance or whatever.
Okay.
Got to have something.
Yeah. Anything else on PROS? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But I'm sure we'll be inundating you soon.
Well, and I'm trying to learn as quickly as possible, so thank you for your patience.
Thank you for spearheading it, Laura. No, we know.
We're all learning.
We know we're in good
we're
hands
all
with you. I'm not worried about it at all. All right, Scott, you want to come up and I'll move
I'm
my
gonna
head?
I'm going to disregard that call, Kelly, if you're hearing the beeping.
I'm hearing.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dylan.
Scott.
How the heck are you?
Fine, are you?
Good. Scott Sawyer with Park. Yeah, we're there. Yeah, we've known each other for a long,
long time.
I was here recently to talk a little bit about another park, Philida, and so now I've returned to talk about another park, and that is the Curtain Creek Community Park. So, hopefully everyone is pretty well familiar with where the park is proposed to go. Just to give you an idea, 119th Street is on the south side there, runs east-west, and 72nd Avenue runs north-south. Currently there is the Vancouver Fire Department Station number 7 that's located right adjacent to Northeast 72nd Avenue. This park is proposed to the east of that fire district station. It's approximately, as you can see, approximately about 16.2 acres worth of property for development for a park. If we go to the next slide, one of the requirements, since we are developing on property that is adjacent to 72nd Avenue, we will be required to do frontage improvements to meet the current road standards. So if you look to the south there, just north of 119th, that's basically what the width will look like with sidewalks. So if we go to the next slide, I'm showing you. So if you can imagine widening further to the east and adding sidewalks in front of the fire district there, that length. Next slide. Basically, we've broken this up into three basic phases. The first phase is the public outreach and master planning process, kind of figuring out what do we want to put in this park. We've got, as I briefly discussed last time, we've got a blank slate here. And so we have opportunity to really get out, get some public outreach, get some concepts of some ideas. And we've been doing that. And I think we've been doing a really good job. And I'm excited to share with you some of the stuff that we've discovered through that process. Once we get through that process, phase two, then we'll lead into the design and right-of-way and permitting phase, get some construction documents put in place and get ready to go out to bid. And then we'll find the third phase is going to be going to construction. We jump to the next slide. One of our first things we did was we did some stakeholder meetings where we attempted to contact 15 different local youth sports and community organizations and invited them to come in and talk to us, kind of get an idea for what their needs are. Eight of them, of the 15 that we contacted, were willing to come and talk to us and discuss some of the things that they're looking for, what they would need, what their hopes and desires are, dreams, things of that nature. Next slide, please. And then we did a mailer out to approximately just over 7,000 properties. What we chose is just did a circle, a 2-mile radius circle around the park, and mailed out to everyone. We have an open house scheduled for tomorrow at Prairie High School from 5:30 to 7:30, in which we've got a series of boards prepared to kind of give people ideas. It's not like this is what we're building. It's more of, well, these are some different ideas. What are your thoughts? To get their input. We also created an online survey to give people opportunities to provide their input on that. And so I've got copies of that that survey if you'd like to see them. There were a total of 16 questions ranging from, you know, getting some demographics from them. What's your age? How often do you come to the parks? Yeah, go ahead. Just, awesome. Yeah. How far would you travel to get to the park? Do you feel that the recreational facilities, are there any gaps at Clark County? So I think there's some useful information for you here as well. When I put the presentation together, I had about 140 or so people who participated in this. It's now jumped up to well over 500. So it's actually I think a pretty good representation. I don't know if it's statistically, you know, if you can say, all right, this is, but I think there's some good information in there that can help us understand what we're looking for here. We also have our website up and open for people to take a look at that, so that you can get an idea on that. So I think it's we've done a really good job getting the word out there. We hope for a very successful open house tomorrow night. I hope we get lots and lots of people to come talk to us. Our consulting firm, Robertson Engineering, they've done a great job. They've subbed with WSP Engineering, who are experts in, you know, coming up with questions and exactly so and getting you out there.
Just because I feel the need to needle, I'm glancing through this thing and missing what's the question? Recreation facility gaps, and the first 20 answers are rugby, and I wonder where that.
Well, you know, that was the funny part. We went from 140 something also went to 500. That's amazing how much rugby came up during that next brief output. So, just kind of gives you some perspective of what we're hearing. Hopefully, it's a useful tool for you. As well, I know you're interested in what's, you know, what are people saying, what are they presenting. So if we go to the next slide, when I put this thing together, we had 145 people involved. Now, as you can see, we're well over 500. But it's interesting, a lot of people talking about sports fields rather than just open green space.
What's futsal?
I'm sorry? So futsal, it's kind of a soccer game where you have the walls. Right, and so you can bounce them off the walls and still be in bounds.
It's like kind of like tennis courts,
Indoor soccer.
Right,
I've
right.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, a little more faster pace and.
Can futsal courts be marked on like pickleball courts? Or are they? I'm all about as many courts in one with different markings as I can get.
Sure.
Looks like you combine them with basketball courts too.
Possibly. I'm not an expert in.
Well,
in
only
futsal.
Because they put it together here.
Yes, all does. Right. They can be in gyms.
Right. My kids played over at the Salmon Creek facility. They had futsal there.
Okay.
And so that was really well set up. But you need to have the walls for the balls to bounce off of.
Okay.
Keep it in play. Next slide, if you could, please. When you ask a lot of people what they think, they give you a lot of different answers. And so, as you can see, there's a lot of different ideas for you know, how to use that property. And so our challenge now is going to, you know, we need to make sure they understand, you know, we can't do everything. We've got a limited amount of space and a limited amount of money. We'll do what we can to serve the most people in the community that we can.
How much money do we have to build this park right now?
The preliminary budget at this point is about $6.5 million. And do you know what Luke Jensen came in at?
I don't.
Chris, do you know Luke Jensen?
More than that.
So 6.5 is not really out of, you know, that's not a huge a bunch of money when you look at some of the parks and depending upon what you want to do.
Okay.
Next slide. So our next steps, again, there's the community open house and then wrap up our online survey. We want to develop the preferred site layout, develop a capital cost opinion so that we, you know, once we figure out what we're going to build, we need to know how much money we're going to need to build it. And then prepare a summary report so that we move into then phase two and then start putting together the construction documents. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, phase two then is developing the design documents, going through our development review process at the county, getting all our permits in place. The right-of-way will be purchasing property from the city of Vancouver in front of the fire department as we do our frontage improvements because they own that property. The property that we're building the park on was purchased by the city of Vancouver back in 1999. In 2013, they issued an easement to the county to use the property for parks. So that's how we're going to use the property, but we still have to purchase that property in front of the fire station for permanent road.
Does the $6.5 million, is the right-of-way purchase included in that, or is that separate?
Well, and again, we're going to have to include it, but what we'll know more is what we've decided to design. So again, that's part of our process of figuring out, okay, what are we going to build, and then how close are we to that $6.5 million? Do we need to get more money, or do, you know, can we do it within that amount?
No chance the city's just going to give you the right-of-way, huh?
Yeah.
I like your attitude. Yeah.
You can ask. Ask. Get her to ask.
Worst thing that can happen is they say no.
I'm planning on no. But you never know.
Well, it's for a park.
Well,
come on.
What about the kids? Next slide, please. So schedule-wise, we plan to go through the rest of the year in this phase one. And then as we move into 2020, we start working on phase two construction. Then we work on probably the middle of 2021 into 2022.
So in phase two, do you have a return to the public built in there as far as here's now what we've got a preliminary design?
Yeah, and so what we'll probably do is another open house and say, okay, this is what we're, you know, here's now a better representation of what we're building. We listened to you. We heard all of these different things. This is what we're going to do. Yeah. Specific, really, especially for the people that live around there that are really close. They're going to be very interested.
Do we have emails or contact information, no way to go back to all the SurveyMonkey people?
You know, I don't know that I can speak to that. As part of their, and forgive me, Chris Robertson with Robertson Engineering is here as well. I don't know if that process included their ability to leave their contact information.
You know, we're able to identify that all of the different responses are individualized ISP addresses, so we know that, you know, we don't just have one person doing 40 responses, but I don't know that we actually are able to tag that and respond to them. Yeah.
What we will do tomorrow as part of our open house is, and what we normally do is give people the opportunity to provide their email, mm-hmm. so that if they're interested in getting more information or being invited to the next open house, we can do it that way. But to this point, through that process, we don't.
Park also has to go through a land use review process Clark County. So
that's right.
Luke Jensen went to a hearing, and I would assume Curtin Creek is kind of on that same level where it's a large enough project that it has to go before a third-party hearings examiner for approval.
So if you're kind of wondering, you know, that the long gap in the middle, that kind of takes that process into consideration, mm-hmm. getting through that process. So that's pretty much the plan. I hope you're able to come to tomorrow and see it, and I hope this is
John and I will be there.
Yeah. And I hope this is useful.
We love the surveys. That's great. Thanks, Scott.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I had heard at some point in time that they were looking at putting sports complex up there at 199th and 72nd. Is this the one that they were actually referring to, or is there other plans to go further north for something else?
So, Kevin, you're going to have to help me with this one because this is before my time. So when they did the parks bond, they identified, if I'm not mistaken, 65 different parks
It's in the 30s. It's like 33 parks.
Oh, is it only 33 parks?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that right. Maybe that's what it was. It was 35. Yeah. In which they've identified the different locations. So this one has always been on that plan to be at this location. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that 199th and 72nd one.
I don't know either. I just kept hearing something about
no, I'm not familiar with anything up in the 199th Street area.
Because it wouldn't be very far from this. You're only talking,
yeah.
You know, 70 blocks. It's not that much of a difference. I just kept hearing about it, and it may be that when they were talking about it, this is actually what they were referring to.
Yeah, and that I think that Midfield is owned by the school.
Midfield.
Yeah, well, it's on the southeast corner of 72nd and 199.
Sarah.
I think that's all school property.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah. I think it is school property.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Scott, we'll see you in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Again. Okay. Hello. I'm here to talk about Lower Daybreak, park trail improvements. You remember I was here at the Parks Advisory Board meeting in July, and we presented the 30% concept at that time. One of the comments that came out of that, which was a very good comment, was to provide the master plan. And so that is this was the master plan that was arrived at in 2010. So first, if you can go ahead and go to the next slide. In case there are people here that weren't here at the July meeting, Lower Daybreak Park is just northwest of Battleground. I don't know if you know where the existing Daybreak Park, but Lower Daybreak is across the street from the existing Daybreak Park. Next slide. So the location is there on the west side of Northeast 82nd Avenue, Daybreak Road. You can see that the East Fork Lewis River is there on the north side of the property, bounding the north side, and then there's Manly Creek on the south end of the property. Just to kind of rehash the project information, it's a trail improvement project to install over 3/4 mile of multi-use paved and gravel trails. There'll be an area for views of the East Fork Lewis River. There'll be benches and picnic tables and trash receptacles along the trail system, and an access path to the East Fork Lewis River. And the trailhead will be accessed from the existing Daybreak Boat Launch parking lot. Construction is set for summer of 2020, and it was funded by a $500,000 development grant from the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office. Some of the outreach we did for the 30% concept was the July meeting here. We also were present at the Clark County Fair. And then we had our open house on August 20th at Daybreak Middle School. And I've also added my contact information and then our senior communications specialist, Megan Reed, on there. I'm going to go to the next slide. So the current status is from the 30% concept, we relocated the viewpoint or the overlook to closely align with the master plan. It was originally at an intersection point between the gravel loop path and the paved path, but we've moved it west. And also, when you're in the field and you saw where the landscape architect had placed the viewpoint, it was not did not have very good views, so we had them adjust it.
It's just a point.
Right.
Viewpoint with no view.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And so also we made the decision to include the horse trail in the permitting documentation and to have the county pay for that permitting and mitigate for that environmentally, so that if the horse community can build the horse trail, that will be mitigated for already. And another change was when we first started this, because of stormwater rules, we thought we would need to install a pervious asphalt trail, but after analysis it was determined that an impervious trail would still meet we would still be able to meet requirements, and it was able that would lower the construction costs and increase design and constructability
benefits.
Impervious is cheaper than pervious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Right now, we are getting ready to submit applications for environmental permit and development review. This has to go through that development review process. And then currently, though, the estimate came in over budget for construction, and we've just been talking with Dana about that and trying to figure out, we'll be meeting and having discussion about our financial options at this time. So right now we are at the Parks Advisory Board meeting in November, and there will be, the funny thing about this was when we went to our pre-app, this is really a trail improvement project, but because of this master plan that was developed, they consider this park a regional park, and our county code requires a Type 3 review for a regional park. So even though it seems like a very simple trail improvements, we will be going to a hearing with the examiner of this, so there will be that going outreach. I'm going to go to the next slide. So this is the master plan. Sorry, it's hard to view up there, but what we are building right now, if you can look just south of the East Fork Lewis River, you can kind of see a paved trail, and you can see where an overlook is shown. And I don't know if I can, gosh, it's really tiny up there.
But it's basically, so it basically runs
right, it's this little
right
tiny,
along through here.
That's kind of what we're building. This is
overlook is right there.
This is where our turnaround is. And then we don't have the money to, of course, build all of this with the limited grant funds we have. So it's a like very small in scope phase of this master plan.
Okay.
How does the horse trail fit into the master plan?
Well, it doesn't at this time fit into the master plan. But we are trying to, I think with the grant, I know this was direction from Bill before he left, was to include a horse trail for the equestrian community at this time. We don't have an idea of when any further funding or when funding would be coming to build out the rest of the horse trail. Or I mean, the rest of this master plan.
So the idea is give them something right now because we can.
Yes.
But someday when this thing's developed, that trail may have to go away again.
Yeah, and this master plan is from 2010, so
they will also be updated again
someday. Probably, it's a little stale. It might need to be looked at for future projects. I'm not sure when that would be, but it seems like if we were to build the rest of this out, I assume we want to take another look at.
And I saw the horse people. That sounds wrong somehow, but the equestrians nodding and smiling challenge in the background, so it sounds like they're okay with that general plan.
I think that there's, not to speak out of turn, but I think that there's some traffic danger issues, especially turning into the boat ramp with horse trailer, etc. I think that you've got a bigger problem with people crashing. A problem there.
Right.
That entrance goes into the boat ramp, etc.
But that's beyond the scope of the current.
Yeah.
Is that because the turning radius isn't large enough?
And people come down off that hill.
I think it's sight distance.
And they're going like 45 or 50 miles
yeah.
an hour.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you look at the master plan, it envisions relocating that main entrance to the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over here.
Further down the road, so you have better distance.
And that makes safety
sense. All right. So this is just our 60% design at this point. We kind of already discussed that we moved the viewpoint west from, it was at an intersection point where the gravel trail came into the paved trail. And let's see, there's an access trail to the East Fork Lewis River. I don't know if you can point to that right up there. And then the trailhead will be coming then right there off of the parking lot.
And Sarah, this what looks like a lightly sketched trail that's thinner. That's the horse trail, correct? That would be essentially permitted through the land use process, but not constructed at this time.
Correct.
But the other secondary trail here would be
to gravel
constructed.
Trail.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the excuse me? What's the slope for that river access path? Is that is it very steep there? Or is it?
I
was thinking from an ADA / accessibility.
So I think
you have to stay out of the
we're keeping it above the ordinary high watermark of the river to stay out of complicated permitting requirements. Mm-hmm. So it essentially takes you down to a point. I think of it like the trail at the Port of Kamiswashugal, where there are a couple of spots where it takes you a little bit closer to the water,
but not actually.
So you have a little bit better view of that, but not actually.
It's
into
not
the
actually
water.
Intended to get you down. Okay.
But for those who are more adventurous, they can scramble over the rocks and get down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Next slide is I presented this last time. It's just we're still at this concept for the viewpoint. We have the cobblestone details that were mentioned in the master plan documents as a unified theme for the shoreline, because I guess the shoreline is of the East Fork has a lot of cobblestone and cobble. There's some opportunity for interpretive signage there, for an educational signage about the environment, and also some benches. And if you go to the next slide, the turnaround is pretty similar. And then the gravel trail will connect into this.
Floating benches.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah, they definitely look like they're floating.
Cool technology.
That's why we're over budget.
That's it.
Cool.
Someone who commented, Katie, during public comment wanted to know if she can get copies of the survey responses from the open house.
Okay.
Briefly chatted with Megan before she left, and so what she explained about the open house process is it's a way to solicit information from people who come, and so it's an idea generation. And so typically the process is, unless there's a comment that somebody asks, like there's a question where they specifically ask for a response or a comment where they ask for a response, then we don't typically generate a list of responses associated with each comment that we receive. But that was just her explanation of what went on at the open house. So, but we can definitely talk with her and try to get a little bit better understanding for everyone.
I think one of the things we did with our open houses were those 3x5 cards with a box area for people to leave their input.
Yeah.
Because that way, if something was on their mind that didn't fall into any of the categories that was up.
I think what Megan is saying is that, so we have comments that people have provided, but we haven't done a line-by-line response to each comment that. Right. Right.
Okay.
You were raising your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that at that open house, they did provide forms that you could complete and send in, either leave on the table or hand it in or send in or email in. So there is a dedicated form for that information to happen. And I really think that that's where, as I mentioned in my last meeting, is what happened to those ideas or suggestions. And if they aren't showing up here now, why? Does that mean they're thrown out with the bathwater? Or are they saying, hey, that's a, like we were talking about the manure bins. Is that something that's going to be then brought into going forward, realizing that if there's going to be an environmental permitting
I mean, I think that's what that feedback would hopefully go to with more open outreach, and is this is an outdated master plan we're working with if we're going to make it like an equest, if that is what the community wants. We've got to update this master plan, it sounds like, before we do any more phases, is what it sounds like to me. I mean,
who is us updating?
The county, but it's county. very expensive to update a master plan. It's like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not something, and how long are they technically good for when we decide we want to update
exactly.
them? So, I mean, I wish we had all the money in the world to update master plans all the time. I think that's just something we have to do. If we know there's a demand in the community, we can keep discussing it here, but we have to get approval for that funding to do an update.
So until the approval is made, this is the plan?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that...
Yeah. That all your ideas just weren't...
Okay.
Yeah.
The way that sounded was like, oh, well, you know...
No, this is just...
This is the plan.
No.
This is what every horse owner is looking at and making their decisions on, and Clark County, et cetera, and I know one of the things that we brought up at that meeting were the facilities that are shown on that master plan are really nice, but some of them aren't necessary.
Yeah.
So I know we can save money by scaling that back.
Totally. So it sounds like we need to update the master plan
at some point. Yeah.
And start maybe creeping that direction. So yes, everything you commented on wasn't just, this is from 2010. So hopefully those ideas are being stored for when we can get the money to update the master plan to put that into the next master plan. But it's definitely a more complicated process than it seems it should be.
And I think you'll find too that there's monetary naming opportunities for projects that involve the equestrian side of that. So when you're looking at funding opportunities, I'm just saying that Clark County has a long history of recognizing livestock, equestrian, homesteading, all of that. So I think you'll find that there's some opportunities there, which are pockets you're going to want to
target. Thank you, guys. Laura, do you have a quick Cozy Camp update or no?
Scott. I'm here for moral support.
Another Scott. I was
another
like,
Scott.
So many Scotts.
Scott.
I was about to say that.
What's that?
Great line. Great Scott. It was definitely a dad joke, though, so I left it to you.
That's why I said
Our copy of this up here. So my name's Scott. I'm the project manager with Clark County on this project. Here tonight, just to let you guys know, we have an open house plan for January 15th, 2020. So after the first of the year. And then I'll be back at your board meeting the night before, which would put us at January 14th.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Do you have any details on that?
Yeah.
Open house?
So Cozy Camp, if you guys don't know, it's east of the fairgrounds, east of I-5, south of 179th Street, and west of Northeast 29th Avenue. So an area that is seeing a lot of growth out there. It's a 5-acre parcel, and it will be a neighborhood park.
No, I'm talking for the open house. Do you have a
place
and time?
Yeah, next slide.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Just wait.
So once again, neighborhood park. Some of the amenities that we anticipate putting in: sports court, picnic shelter, playground equipment, benches, pathways. Right now we have a conceptual plan that we've routed around internally at the county to get comments from inside, and then that's what we'll go to the open house with to get the public's input to see if it meets their demands and what they want to see out there. Construction schedule, summer 2021. Funding sources right now are park impact fees from the district 10, and then REIT 2. Included a website that, not a lot on there, but you can visit the website. Actually, this is an old version that we have up there. We do have a site for the open house. It's going to be at Luke Jensen Sports Fields, and it will be on January 15th from 4:30 to 6:30, 2020. And then my contact information is on there. Then the last page is, that's from the master plan that was put together, I am not sure how many years ago.
Ten years.
It's going to change, but not a lot. Some of the development to the west side or on the left-hand side of the screen there has been built out by developers, and the road wasn't installed the way that they thought it would be back in that day. But interior of the park, it's going to look close to that. We envision, but we will get the input from the public.
How many acres is that?
What was that? I'm sorry?
Acres?
It's approximately 5 acres.
Five.
Do you have an approximate budget on this?
With this 30% that we received, the plants, it's about $1.5 million just for the construction.
It only because I know Park District 10 has had minimal influx of PIF recently, and there's not much in the way of land.
That's the reason for the real estate excise tax request.
Okay, so the rate too.
Yeah,
okay.
So we have decision packages into the council to hopefully approve.
Yeah.
This month to cover up to $1.3 million we've asked for so far. That was before we had this $1.5 million.
Well, this is an area that is so necessary for mm-hmm. PARC to go in. And I know that our PIF right now wouldn't sustain that.
Yeah.
So that was the only reason I asked. Thank you.
Do you more for us?
That's it.
Okay. Hopefully some of us will show up at your open house.
Yep.
So you'll see us again.
And then, like I said, I'll be at your guys' board meeting the 14th.
Oh, the 14th.
So the night before. Just maybe come up have some more info to share with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. About okay. How much. So we're going to have to ask for the REIT funds a bit?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Scott.
Have a good night.
You too. All right. Jay and I are going to try to fly through these last three things on new business to keep everyone on schedule for 6 o'clock.
All right. Kevin, did you get any input on the legal question?
We have a meeting set to discuss that with the attorneys, so I don't have anything further to share with you right now, but Galena and I are meeting with some
attorneys.
And what's
the issue? Can you verbalize the issue?
So essentially, the issue is there's not a lot in county code that says how do we give park impact fee credits to developers.
Right.
Now, one question we have is, can you use a developer's agreement to get there? And the initial response was possibly. However, all the developers that have been coming to us and showing us presentations already have developers agreements, because the transportation infrastructure was what they were all focusing on up front.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that we need to unpack with our legal staff.
Okay. Yes. Oh, you should be up here. Don't be back there. I was going to say, you should be at the table.
I just wanted to add to what Kevin had shared, Galena Burley for record. So the county does have a process for TIF credits. We are looking at whether or not there's some relatable information we could kind of pluck for
right.
our own process. In the meantime, what would be very helpful is to have a criteria. If we were able mm-hmm. to do PIF credits, what would you support?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a big one for us.
Yeah.
Another subcommittee in our future, I think.
Yeah, and that's sort of what we are trying to weed out is
We've asked other jurisdictions how they have done that, because we've heard this. We get PIP credits for this, we get PIP credits, and okay, well, how did you do that? Yeah. A lot of them are through a developer's agreement, but as you stated, we need a standard or some kind of matrix table that says if you have X number of something that relates to something else. So I just don't know exactly.
I think
what
the
that
standard
is.
Would be what the county would build as a neighborhood park. Or a community park.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get in the ticky-tack of 0.5 percentage of a PIF credit for a half-court basketball, 0.5 if you put a bench in.
No, but I mean, you're going to have sizing issues. I mean, the pocket parks, they're going to want to get, people want credit, developers want credit for that. Well, if it's done to our standards, so that's, this is all interwoven into trying to come up with the answer.
I think a discussion about what it could be with the advisory board is very much, first of all, appreciated by staff and I. It would be helpful to kind of pick your brains. And two, also in the public forum, maybe we could solicit some input on what that could be.
Well, I think people are much better editors than they are authors.
Very
so
true,
if we
right?
can find examples, if we can find examples and use those, then I think we can build from that.
I agree. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my input.
Liked it. Okay, dog paw update. So, very last minute, I got an email from Jay saying there's a meeting at the library tonight about dog paw. We hadn't heard about it. I went there. They did run an article in the Columbian over the weekend about it.
Okay.
I counted. He had the numbers low. There was like 80 people there. It was a really well-attended meeting. Sorry. So pretty much the gist of it was they're at a crossroads. They say that they won't be able to sustain running dog paw the way they're doing it now. For the first time, though, they're actually making more money than they're spending. For the first time in years, their financials are not in the red. So I was really confused, like 30 minutes into the meeting, I was like, I'm confused then, because I could get why all these years you felt like this wasn't sustainable. Why are you saying that now when your financials are actually positive? And I don't know if anyone saw the article, but the woman who's now running it, Eileen, says she's spending 40 to 60 hours per week of her time running dog paw in addition to her own business. So she says unless they get other people to come on as board members, I think it was specifically an IT business sponsor coordinate, an IT coordinator and a business sponsor coordinator, they're going to shut up shop. Now, for us as the county, that doesn't impact us like it used to. It's not as scary of a threat because I don't know if you guys remember during that transition with Mark being Dog Paw's president and all of our meetings and back and forth, Bill just said, we'll reassume all the maintenance fees for the county parks. So the county's paying for all the mowing, the fence repairs, the path now in county-owned dog parks. So that leaves them with the ones that they operate outside of the county. So for us, if they were to close, it wouldn't already... We're already paying that out of our pocket. So it wouldn't be a huge financial burden for the county. Her message to the public was potentially it changes hours the park can be accessed. But I was talking to Kevin about that. It's still, she said you couldn't go in after dark to a dog park if the county ran it. Well, yeah, and who... Why do you want to run your dog in the dark in a dog park anyway? It's like you'd step in so much poo. I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like dangerous. So, anyways, it didn't seem like there was very many consequences for the county as a whole if this does happen. Just something to keep on our radar. And, that's pretty much what the whole meeting was about. So, interesting stuff.
Always. So you said that they're saying that she's spending 40 hours a week?
She says 40 to 60 hours a week running dog paw. I thought that was a little high, too, considering like we gave them money on Give More 24, and it wasn't on their Facebook page. It wasn't, like, advertised. Like,
we sought them out on the thing because we take our dog to the dog park and stuff. I mean, I didn't even know about this meeting. I couldn't find it on their Facebook page. And, I mean, that's just one of the easier forms of
communication.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I don't doubt that she's doing a lot of work, but... And there was some talk about the county being combative in the beginning and negotiations with... But, anyways, we're paying for it all, and c'est la vie. Okay, Parks Funding Bill. I just wanted to get a head count on that real briefly. I know John wanted us to add it to the agenda, but we felt we were running a bit tight. So I just wanted... Did anyone kind of delve into that email Laura sent? Was it Laura? Laura sent it?
Mm-hmm.
Laura.
Yeah. Well, it certainly sounds like something we should get behind.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, you're in favor of it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So... It all sounds
Kelly,
like...
Kelly, did you get a chance to review it?
Sorry, Kelly, I forget you're there.
That's why I said something.
He's not there now.
Kelly? Oh, I hear him there. He may have fallen asleep. It's like 4
o'clock. It's
probably
like, yeah, 4 in the morning. And okay, bye. Ciao, Kelly. My only Italian word I know. Okay, so let's... You
I was just... Yeah, so... If we've got a general nod of the heads, why don't we simply move to express support of this bill? And if you guys want, I can reach out to local representatives and just say, hey, County Parks Board voted to support this. And
in writing,
you know,
we would do that in writing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think that's important that we put it in writing.
Absolutely.
I am in favor of John doing this work. So let me make a motion that we, John writes a brief summary of the Clark County Parks Advisory Board's support for the Parks Funding 2020 bill.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Did you write that down for the minute?
I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
Send me a note, because I guarantee you'll forget.
Yeah, I will do that.
No, it's important to you, John. You won't forget.
All right. And then let's put that on the agenda at the next meeting so we can flush that out a little bit and just educate ourselves a little bit more on it. Kevin, do you want to do a legacy land update in 6 minutes, or do you want to just push it off? Is there anything like super? Do you just want to tell us what else
why don't I do that?
Okay.
I'll just go quickly through, and then I want to show you one project that's potentially a replacement.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Lewis River Ranch is moving forward.
It's okay, don't worry about it. We have it all in our
PowerPoint. So Lewis River Ranch is moving forward. We are working on, the next step would be some survey work and purchase and sale agreement with the property owner.
Okay.
East Fork, Lewis River, Mason Creek is kind of in the same boat. We're working towards purchase and sale agreement with 2 property owners there. Lake River Water Trail, not much has happened with that one.
Yeah.
Same with Whipple and Salmon Farm Preservation, although Pat has had a couple meetings regarding that topic. City of Camas has been busy purchasing property, and they're going to send us a bill for some reimbursement this year, and then they're hoping to close on another property and would do the remainder next year.
Mm-hmm.
Bolin Creek Trail Corridor, the City of La Center, that one has been sort of stalled because of staff turnover. So we've been waiting for new staff to start so we can kind of see where they are with that project. Fenton Community Park, you guys know that was one that council approved, and we are currently processing the $250,000 that comes out of the Opportunity Fund to pay them a little bit of money towards that project. Washougal River Greenway has fallen through because of unwilling landowners.
Mm-hmm.
The Columbia Land Trust is making good progress on the Optimist Club. Rock Creek Forest has fallen through because of unwilling landowners. And then the Columbia Land Trust has also made some pretty good progress on the Yakult Burn Forest. They've applied for a federal grant where they they score really high in the score, so they're waiting to see if it's going to be funded by the federal funding package.
Cool.
So that leaves approximately just a little over $1.3 million in opportunity. If you consider the $250,000 a year, that could be an additional $1.5 million for next year. So we do need to go through a process of reallocating funding to possibly new projects. And Pat and I have just briefly talked about that process being similar to the last go-around, which we brought projects to you for a ranking process where then you made a recommendation to council. We did a work session with council, and then we did a hearing with council where they reauthorized funding for new projects. Now, since that time, there's been an interesting project that has come to light. Let's see if I can find it here. Goodness sakes, how many things do we have open? This is it. I think I hear snoring.
That's about to say, I think it is.
So this is Cedars Golf Course. If you're familiar with Cedars Golf Course, it's south and east of Battleground. This property right here is owned by Clark County. It was purchased with Conservation Futures dollars several years ago. It's referred to as the Salmon Morgan Creek. So it's the confluence of Salmon Creek and a little creek called Morgan. And so the golf course kind of runs through these yellowish properties. So the owner of the golf course has come to Clark County and wants to sell the property, looking to get out of the golf course business, and wanted to know if the county is interested in purchasing. And we've looked at it from purely a Conservation Futures point of view at this point, and a lot of the property, because it fronts Salmon Creek, you know, it's like a mile of Salmon Creek frontage. It fits within the Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan framework very nicely. And so our director has started talking to council about this. So that's kind of where we are.
Sounds like an awesome opportunity.
Don't we have like a trailhead near there for some?
There's access. Yeah, so there's like the railroad runs through the property. Mm-hmm. And so there's the we were looking at a trailhead so that we can get access to the Chilachi Rail Trail and build another phase through there.
I thought there was another trail there. We got a presentation on where there's like tons of slugs. Someone came and was like, "I know it's right up there."
Does Wooden Creek run through there?
I think I would have remembered a ton of slugs. That was kids or who they were talking about. But
no, Wooden Creek is north of.
What is it called?
I know it runs on.
But there are a couple of trails through the property and access from these neighborhoods.
We were trying to get the Chilachi Trail to come through, and then we have a trailhead up there on top of the coming up to the Salmon Creek and access off of, what is that?
159th?
59th, yeah.
Yeah. You know, dead ends up there. If you're
out,
you take that quick left.
This is the golf course. I know there's there's trails through there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the rectangular property.
Would we still operate as a golf course?
No.
You don't want to get the golf business?
Nope. We already have Tri Mountain. Nope. We're good on golf courses. That's for another meeting. Moving
She's
on.
She's very adamant about that. That's a very large property.
I don't know that we have the capacity to take on the
Just know that there's a lot of drama with golf courses and county ownership. So I would caution us to really look into that fully. Yeah. I want to have a plan for the property before we vote on anything.
Yeah, make it a goal.
Because
keep it operating.
It's very preliminary.
Very
possibly premature.
Having that property is great because there's a lot of waterways on it.
That's the interest.
Yeah. We had our golf tournament out there, and if you're going to maintain it as a golf tour, it needs a lot of work.
My first thing would be cut it out of 18, make it 9, and everybody's going toward that way. Anyway,
okay, Jay's going to run the golf course.
Yeah. All another discussion. But
Yeah, it would take a lot of work to maintain to pull that back up to.
And there's also
a building. But it's a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, the clubhouse is up
Where's
there too.
Where's the Salmon Morgan?
22,000.
Salmon Morgan is this rectangle.
And a restaurant. Right, I mean, there's a lot of.
Essentially, a golf course a runs along there. Here, but we own right up to this orange line.
Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. That's the slug place.
So
that's the slug
if you
place.
Look, the fire
There's
has
plenty
slugs
of slugs
on
there.
Yep.
The owner hasn't stated a price or anything.
I think they must have, and they're not telling us by their faces.
Is that Chalmers that owned that?
Yes.
Is that what
I think? Yeah. It's JA Holdings.
Yeah.
The Netter Golf Course.
Is it within the Legacy Lands budget?
Not at this point.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, it's way more than 1 point.
Mm-hmm. That's where
so
I was headed in my head.
Some of the discussion that we're trying to figure out at this point.
But it's an opportunity worth exploring.
Yeah. It's a nice piece of property up there with all that waterway on there. It's beautiful.
Access to those creeks is critical. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we're exploring. Very preliminary, very early on.
Okay. Sorry to cut you sort of short on that.
No,
shocking
that's okay.
So knowledge that we all just
I
received.
I think our hope is to come back to you soon with a list of opportunities as replacement projects. Okay. Pat's been working on another one that we're not, it's not really, it's even more preliminary. It's not very firm. And I think he's got a couple of other things that are going to make it onto the list.
Okay. All right.
City of Vancouver might be looking at more for their
Fenton.
Mm-hmm. Lots of options to consider. Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, before you wrap your manager's report up here, we got that email about the budget meeting on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that something that you will get information out to us so we can show up and support you guys there?
We can.
Well, just so that we've got a little bit of detail of what the ask is.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't come across as dumb. And if nothing else, I'm always an advocate of face value. If your advisory board is there, they know you've got support.
So full disclosure, I don't know the rules about how much involved we can be in asking you to come to a public meeting to testify on our behalf. I could look into it, but the meeting is open to the public.
A lot of times.
You can always mention
always
it.
We show up for faced value
face
because
value.
They know us.
Yeah.
Got it.
And if nobody's there, they think, oh, well, maybe the board doesn't support you. We do.
Are we facing some cuts that are going to be significant, or are we okay budgetary-wise right now?
Not aware of any cuts.
Not aware of any cuts.
And we have a handful of decision packages that are out there for consideration.
Right.
And you can see all that information on the county website.
Mm-hmm. And we know it's a hard week for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The budget will
by
be...
By Thanksgiving. Yeah.
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 They will read the budget decision packages and go through the budget on the 25th at 2 o'clock and then public testimony on the 26th at 10. Maybe on 27th if they don't make a decision on the 26th. And I hope we send that information to you if we have it. We'll send
it again. I got it. All right. Did anyone sign up for public comment again? I'm too lazy to stand up and walk. Do you guys want to say something?
Yeah, I think we both have comments.
Okay. Come on up.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on your earlier conversation about getting some young people involved in the parks. My daughter, a few years ago, she's in college now, had been a part of, you're probably aware of the Clark County Youth Commission?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
Elizabeth.
Okay, so that's what you're thinking of. That's what I thought, wait a minute, because they kind of looked at issues like that. So, okay.
Because
they're sort of civic-minded youth people anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was it.
Thank you.
You guys know me, Jana Brown.
I was curious about the high school reps. You had mentioned that you sent a letter to all the principals. Was the job description included so that somebody might step up and do this like for a senior project or something like that?
Yeah, I would have to go back and pull up. It was emails, not
emails.
Letters.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
But I'm sure I've got them in my out basket.
Okay.
But I did
it
that.
Was
and then,
a
I, follow-
bit,
and then I followed up with phone calls as well. because it was a big ask.
But it's a little longer than just the senior projects. We were looking for somebody to perform for the whole year.
Oh, okay. And that was going to be my next question.
We asked for a year's commitment.
Okay, thank you. That answers that question. There was a question about the board. I like the board now. I like it because we're learning who you guys are, and historically, I think there's a lot of history here. So, selfishly, I wouldn't want any change. as we're getting more involved and trying to get other people within the community involved. So I just wanted to say you guys are doing a good job. I also wanted to say kudos to Sarah Smith. I know her job isn't easy, and she has had other projects besides the Daybreak Park project, which is near and dear to our hearts. But I just want you guys to know I recognize the fact that that's only one part of her job and not the whole. She doesn't spend all day doing that. And then on Dog Paw, I give them $25 a year as a my own membership renewal, if you will. And I don't even take my dog there because she doesn't like other dogs. I mean, she's afraid of them. And so.
At least you admit it, and you don't take your dog there. There's a lot of people that do.
I would like to see it stay open. So I don't know how to help this lady get the message out to the public that keeping it open, not just for my dog, but for other dogs that are out there that don't have the 3 acres right now to run on and to get all the stuff that they want to have done.
And it sounds like the county parks will stay open, the physical location. It's just their organization might close.
Yeah. That would really be too bad because I think it's a good, a good partnership. And if people would just realize, hey, Dog Paw is your pack, so try to do something to keep the pack together. So.
And they did talk about, I wrote down, that if they do decide to quit contracting with the public entities, that they would act hopefully as, they mentioned another organization who is like a citizen advisory group, sort of, that stays in contact with the parks for dog like matters and issues. More of like transitioning from an operator to an advocacy role. That was one of their options. So I don't think they'll disappear completely. That's not what my gut is saying. I think it was just a plea for we need more volunteers. And they were really hoping to inspire one of those 80 people who sat in that crowd to step up. Is how I took it. And hopefully someone did. Because I just think she's just burnt out. So.
And I don't know if that's somebody that Jillian has talked to or not, but we recognize the fact that a lot of horse people have dogs, and the subject of the dog parks and making allowances for dogs has come up with the Executive Horse Council for Clark County. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I should be asking that gal to come in and make a presentation to our group.
Yeah.
So is she just on the website? Or
she is.
Facebook?
Her name's Eileen Cervantes. I assume her email's on their website.
Okay.
If not, I know they have a Facebook page. You could probably I don't know who runs. I know there's someone who runs their Facebook page.
I have an email for them.
Oh, good.
I can get it after the meeting.
Yeah, I can give you my card and you can email me tomorrow. Because somebody just emailed me today about something. So if you want to take my card and email me tomorrow, I'll go back and find the email that I have. It might not be the right person, but it at least gets you started.
Okay, great. And that way we can kind of get another group access to them as well. So.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, roundtable discussion. Jay.
I'm good.
Barbara.
I'm me.
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly.
Night.
She's asleep.
Yoo-hoo, Kelly.
Okay, I'm going to move on.
Oh, good night, dear.
John, Galena, Kevin. Okay, so the only thing we really need 100% to know about as soon as possible is if we have to have a physical meeting in December to do the vote.
The elections, yeah.
So if that could be given to folks within the next week, that would be great. So everyone.
I was researching a little bit on my phone as you were talking, and I did note that there is something to the effect in Robert's Rules of Order about the ability to mail both nominations and ballots for voting.
Oh.
to do a mail-in.
Oh.
That's, it said if your members are geographically dispersed, so.
Which it sounds like we will be somewhat on December 7th.
So it sounds like there is an ability to do that. And
is that physical mail or email?
It didn't specify, but
we can update Robert's rule.
Do we make a distinction in this day and age?
Megan can do a ballot, and that's pretty easy. We did the nominations.
She did the nominations today.
So then she can put a ballot together,
and mail it,
email it out,
and we'll mail it back.
Yeah.
Email it back.
Or email. Okay.
Didn't I specify email. That electronic mail was not appropriate.
And is that consistent with the town bylaws?
We just have to do it in December. So we were talking about canceling December's meeting, but the bylaws say we have to elect new officers every December.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think we voted in January last year.
I think we did too, Barbara.
I
said
we did something. So I'm pretty sure we did not have a December meeting.
No, because that wasn't.
2 years ago, we didn't have a December meeting.
Yeah, we partied at Tiffany's house.
Yeah, I know.
My daughter.
I know we canceled it one December.
Yeah.
I know for sure.
You could probably just make a motion to move it into January, and it would probably.
That would be a good
idea.
Or defer
it or whatever. Yeah. But.
You could vote to postpone.
Oh, Milada, that's a really good idea. Are we stuck by our bylaws, though? Do those
we should revise our bylaws, but we can't.
Yeah.
Well, we discussed this at the time. The reason the bylaws were written that way is if you go to the ordinance that created us,
uh-huh.
It states that in there.
Oh.
Right.
And so to truly change our bylaws, we'd have to change that, and that's a ton of money. And
so why don't we pursue the... It sounds sort of like we can do the...
I think
mail.
We can just do the vote by mail.
Yeah, you can vote
just says,
check the just, county council.
Yeah. Easiest way is to just, for now, just vote by mail.
The worst that's going to happen is they'll put you in, you know, jail for Miss...
Messing up.
We've done our due diligence in ensuring that
I'm
we're
not too worried
compliant.
About
everything's above board, so...
You know,
I don't think
do we need to vote?
Influence our
to say
well,
we vote
I would
mail?
Say so. It says here that we follow Robert's rules, newly revised for small groups. I don't know that that's specifically what I was looking at. So,
well, just to cover things.
Well, since I wrote those, I guess I can say it's good.
Okay.
I've got my expert on Robert's rules. I can send it off to and ask
to vote via mail.
Yeah.
I think we're good, Kevin.
Let's just do a motion just in case.
Just to cover our bases, I move that we cancel our December meeting and handle voting via mail.
Of officers.
Yes.
Second.
All in favor? Oh, it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. All right.
That's called Big Time CYA. Huh?
Officially done with this meeting. See some of you in the new year. See some of you tomorrow night, John Spencer.
Nah,
I'm did you get well as old?
Well, we appreciate
it. I did the whole, I have a cold, I have to get a babysitter. My husband's on shift. And John was like, well, I could go, but I don't want to. And then I was like, well, I'll still go, I guess.
I planned it, but
phone.
I know.
You could
have been coming here.
Well, my daughter's working downtown tomorrow. And Brittany's got a basketball game. And she's got sewing club, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I know.
You know.
It started. I have 3 days a week. I run home from subbing, grab them, swim lessons. Then
I hear you.
You have a long-term
but stuff. Wednesdays are always bad.
I don't, but I have
no idea if
they
need
to go to work every day. And that's
did you guys really mean mail or email?
Did you really mean mail or email?
Email.
I get bumped down by one. Yeah,
thank you.
And so I earn the higher pay grade by doing the minimum amount this semester before. And so that's why I was a little hesitant. Well, no. And so like, I'm probably going to miss the budget.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.